We're holding in the middle of Ches Amud Beis, about the middle of the Amud. The line begins Shabsha. We started learning yesterday the question. We said in the Mishnah, it's like a recap. The Mishnah talks about various cases where a girl does miyun or does a get in various orders, and we said when does the miyun override the get versus vice versa. We had one case where her original husband divorced her. Later on, she returned to him, then she did miyun. We said the miyun overrides the get. Therefore, if she marries somebody else, she's allowed to return to her first husband, whereas if it was the other way around, then no. Then we had the second half of the Mishnah. I talked about a case where she does miyun to one husband and get from another one, and miyun to another one and get to another one, etc., where we say that the rule is anyone that she left with a get, she can't return to, because that would be master Roshasa after she married somebody else, whereas anyone that she did miyun to, she's allowed to. So the miyun makes it considered as if they were never married. So we talked about, do these two things contradict each other? And we said one possibility is that, yes, they do contradict each other. They're from different tanoim. The other possibility, Rava said, is no, there's no contradiction necessarily. That the difference is we would say that miyun can be mevatel his own get. If he divorced her, later on she returned, and then she did miyun, then we're not worried about that later on now when she's married to somebody else, he's going to try to wink at her and convince her to leave her husband and return to him because she did miyun. She didn't want to be with him anymore. So obviously, she's impervious at this point to any of his hints. Now, Shainkin, if it was the other way around, whether the last thing, where the last thing was the get, or if you have that, more to the point, also, if he gave her a get and then she's going and marrying somebody else, you don't want him to, even though she's leaving that other guy with miyun, you don't want to have a situation where he's going to be able to go hint to her, you know what, you're better, I changed my mind, I'm sorry I gave you a get, you're better off back with me, and have her return to him. And therefore, there's a logical reason to make that distinction between a miyun being mevatel his own get versus a miyun being mevatel versus somebody else's miyun being mevatel his get. That's where we're up to. Ela ikasha, dechavre adechavre kasha. It's fine. Then there's no stitter between the first half and the second half of the Mishnah. But there still is. You can ask the question between the two cases, between the cases in the second half of the Mishnah itself. A miyun of one versus a get of another. Because even in that itself, the Mishnah seems to be saying there's a distinction. Because the Mishnah started saying, miyun abayvech zira, that if she does miyun against her first husband, Reuven, and then he remarries her, nosan lo get, then later on he gave her a get, v'nisis la'acher, and she marries Shimon, v'nis armalo in iskarsha, and she's widowed or divorced from Shimon, after l'achzalo, then she's not allowed to return to him, which the implication is, time v'nis armalo in iskarsha. Why is she also to return to Reuven? Because she was widowed or divorced from her second husband, meaning it's legally considered she was at one time married to the second husband. The marriage was not overturned, the marriage was not uprooted by miyun. Which would imply, though, had she done miyun from the second husband, on the face of it, the Mishnah is saying she would be able to return to Reuven. Which implies, therefore, that the miyun she did against Shimon cancels out the get that she received from Reuven. We don't say after Reuven divorced her, then it's considered that she married Shimon. We say the miyun takes away. She was never married to Shimon in the first place.
Miyun that she did with Shimon
takes away that marriage. And effectively also overrides the get she received from Reuven. So therefore, she's able to return to Reuven. It's not considered that she was married to somebody else in between. No, not the Fakir. The Mishnah is saying if Shimon passed away, or if he divorced her, then it would be an issue. Implying that if she did miyun against Shimon, then it wouldn't be an issue. Uraminhi, but then the Mishnah previously said, if she does miyun against a man, v'nisus la'achar, and then she marries another man, Shimon, v'gersha, and Shimon divorced her, la'achar u'miyanavoy, then she married Levi, and then she did miyun to him. And the Mishnah had said, the general rule, zakwal, kol sheyatzim menu v'get asura la'achar, like any husband she left with a get, she's never allowed to return to. Miyun materis lachzaloi, any husband that she left with miyun, she is able to return to. Alma loyasi miyun dechaveru mevato gitzidei, which means, therefore, the miyun she did again, in this case, for example, if she did a get with Reuven and then miyun with Shimon, it sounds like we're saying that the miyun with Shimon does not allow her to return to Reuven. So there you have a clear contradiction in the Mishnah. The implication of the previous sentence in the Mishnah is that if she did miyun against the second husband, she can return to her first husband after he gave her a get. Whereas the Mishnah then seems to say pretty clearly that no. That any husband that she divorced with a get and then was with somebody else afterwards, then she was married to somebody else afterwards, then she can't return to the husband who gave her the get. So that's a contradiction. So now on that, Amar Rav Elazar Tavra, it's a stira, or as we said yesterday, Tavra is an expression of an oath. Misha Shanazu, La Shanazu. Necessarily, whoever taught the one half of the Mishnah, the one segment of the Mishnah, didn't teach the other segment. It's two different tanaim. On the other hand, Ula Amar, Ula says, no, even there there's not necessarily a contradiction. You know what the last part of the Mishnah is talking about? When you're saying that after Miyun with another husband, she can't return to the previous husband who gave her a get. We're talking about she had three different gittin. We're talking about, let's say, you know, the Mishnah had just mentioned, get miyun. All while she's still a ktana. At that point already, it's very unusual that a ktana below age bas mitzvah should have already gone through six marriages like that. So at that point, we consider as if she's a gdola. At that point, we say already, you know what? You're allowed to do miyun, but we're not going to be so lenient with miyun to say that it'll allow you to return to a husband who previously gave you a get. Before the three times, yes, you could argue, like we said, as the previous segment of the Mishnah said, that yes, if she did miyun from Shimon, she can return to Reuven, even though Reuven gave her a get. So no contradiction. Okay. Going back to Rabbi Elazar, if we're saying according to Rabbi Elazar that it's machlokes tanoim in our Mishnah, that the one part of the Mishnah is according to one Tana, and the second part that lists get miyun, etc., is according to another Tana, which Tana would it be? Which two tanoim are we talking about? The answer is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. My dichtiv. What does it mean? There's a pasuk in Eicha that goes Meimenu bekesef shosinu. We were our water we had to drink with money. Etzenu b'mchir yavoyu. Our wood came to us with a price. The simple meaning is we're talking about that the Jews were being so harassed by the goyim that even like what used to be their own water, now the goyim control and have to pay them for it. What used to be our wood, we have to pay them for.
An Eicha,
yes, in the last parak. But what's the deeper meaning? B'shasa sakonin sbaksha halachazu. It happened in a time of danger during the time of the Shmab, of Adrianus and Antonus Rufus and all after the war of Bar Kochba. It was a dangerous time. They're outlawing all the mitzvahs, and they had this question in this halacha. Hareisha yotza merushin beget or b'sheni b'miyun. If she left her first husband gave her a get, her second husband she did miyun. Ma'u shetachzu merushin. Is she allowed to return to the first husband? So they had to hire somebody for 400 zuz, which is an outrageous amount of money. And they asked Rabbi Akiva in jail. Evidently, you know, this wasn't like the situation we had the other day with Rabbi Yehuda Sandler to bribe the Romans, I guess, to allow them to see him, yeah. Now, this week, you know, we had the other day the story with Rabbi Yehuda Sandler with Chol Tzabena Labena, where he was able to pretend to be a peddler. I guess the difference is there was just a short statement, Chol Tzabena Labena, and so you could easily hide it among other things that you seem to be offering for sale. Whereas here it's a more complicated question. Yeah. Here it's a more complicated question. So whatever. So they asked Rabbi Akiva in jail, v'asar, and sure enough he said it's asar. And they also asked us to be Hudabin Seder bin Nitzivin, but also they also asked to be Hudabin Seder up in Nitzivin in Bavel, and he also asked of it. So what does it mean? So we see, in other words, the Pasuk is telling us the Torah is compared to water. Usually we should be able to get it for free. It's our water. Now like this, we're forced into a situation where we have to pay hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars to get a Psak Halacha. Similarly with Eitzenu, Melosh and Eitza, we have to get advice in Halacha, same idea, B'mchir Yavoyah, we have to pay a high price. Anyway, so we see now. So that's opinion number one. That's opinion number one, which reflects the second part of the Mishnah, that any husband that she left with a get, she's not allowed to marry to. That's exactly what Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ben Sarah are saying. However, Amr Rabbi Shmuel Ben Rabbi Yosi, and the next generation Rabbi Shmuel Ben Rabbi Yosi says, "Lazulo yitzrachnu." We didn't need. That wasn't what they needed to ask Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda Ben Maseira. They didn't spend 400 zuz to ask such a simple shaila, because that we can prove logically. the Issa Koresi Karta, you're allowing her to leave her husband with Miun, even though there's a concept of an Ashish is Chaya Kores. I mean, she herself is a Kana, it's only Kedushin and Nisuin Dirabanan, but still the concept of an Ashish exists there, Raisa, and it's an Issa Kores, and you're allowing it to be broken off with nothing more than Miun. It's a lav like Hoshkin. How much more so? And it's a lav where the whole concept that if Reuven remarries her after she was married to somebody else, that's only a lav. Lo yuchabal harishon.
No, that's...
Of course. So he's saying, of course, if miun is enough to undo her current marriage, of course miun is enough to allow her to return to her first husband. So yes, if she did miun against the second husband, yes, she'd be able to return to the first husband. No. Bram Kachshol. So no, rather the question they asked was as follows. He agrees with the fact. They did have to pay somebody 400 zuz to go and undertake this dangerous mission. But the Kshayla was a different Kshayla. Suppose that this was the wife of his mother's brother, she's Shnialoi, which as we learned in the second paragraph when we learned all about the Shnias, she's also to a person midrabanan. The Nasa Achiv Me'aviv. And then his father on his brother's side married this woman, which he's allowed to do. She's not any relation of his. So here, let's find the diagram over here and see what we're talking about. Here. So you have as follows. So Yitzchak, who is the brother of Rivka, married a ktana. Then Yitzchak died. So Yitzchak died, so she married Reuven. Now Reuven dies. Now let's say, for example, so she had children from Yitzchak, so there wasn't an issue of she couldn't have had children from Yitzchak. She was a ktana. So what would be the case? Fine. So one of Yitzchak's brothers did chalitza. So fine. Yitzchak is out of the picture. So she married. So then she went and married Reuven. Now Reuven has a brother on his father's side, Shimon. Reuven died now, and Shimon's mother is Rivka. So at one time, this Yisaima, this Ktana, at one time was. At one time, this woman, this Ktana, was married to his mother's brother. To his mother's brother. Rivka is his mother. Rivka is Shimon's mother. Yitzchak is her brother. Yitzchak is her brother, and he was married to the Ktana.
Right.
Now,
there's no connection here.
There's no blood connection, but Midrabanan. Midaraisa would be fine. Midaraisa has no problem for Shimon to marry the Ktana. Midrabanan, we learned that that's a Shia. The question is, Maosha Tamayin. Marsh into mine hashta, do we say maybe that this Ktana should do miun now, after her husband is dead, and then that will uproot the original nisuin to kisyabim, and then she'll be able to do yibum, because then she won't be, if we say now at this point that she can do miun, after now both of her husbands are dead. First Yitzchak is dead, and now Reuben is dead. And we're saying that we want her to do miun, which maybe should uproot all of her marriages going back to the beginning, even the one with Yitzchak.
True.
Therefore, if she was never married to Yitzchak, then she's no relation of Shimon. Then Shimon can do yibum with her. Or it wouldn't really be yibum at that point, because we'd say that she's uprooting her marriage with Reuven. But no, actually, the argument, the question is, can we say that she can do miun that would uproot one of her two marriages? We want her to cancel out the marriage with Yitzchak, make it consider that she was never married to Yitzchak, but she was married to Reuven, and she was happy with him until he died. So Shimon will be able to do yibum with her. That was the question. The question is, yesh miun la'acha mitzvah oloi. The question was, can you do miun after her husband is dead? Usually you might say no, but here it's in a case in order to make it possible to do a mitzvah, or maybe not. That was sachar shnei b'nei adam ba'avameh. They had to hire two people for 400 zuz of all of Rishalos, Rabbi Akiva v'esasur and v'asa, and they came and asked Rabbi Akiva in jail, and he said it's also v'esh Rabbi Yehuda ben v'seder ben tzir and v'asa, and Rabbi Yehuda ben v'seder also asked it. So what do we have from all of this? We have that it's a machlokes tanoim. We have on the one hand the first version of the Braisa, Rav's version of the Braisa, is that Rabbi Akiva said that always a girl who does miyun after a get, and because her first husband divorced her with a get, she's not allowed to return to him after the miyun. That reflects the second part of our Mishnah, that any husband that she left with a get, she's not allowed to return to. On the other hand, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi's version is that no, there's no problem with that. Miyun always helps in that case. Therefore, he would reflect the earlier part of the Mishnah, which implied that even if she did miyun against the second husband, she's fine to go back to her first husband who divorced her with a get.
Yalacha.
The halacha is, I'm not sure, actually. I don't know. Okay. Onward. Amar Rav Yitzchak Ba'ashi, and Umayda Rav, Shemutedas La'achiv Shal Zeshen Nasr Olav. Rav does agree, even if according to Rav, we're saying that Shimon's miyun cannot cancel out Reuven's get. That means she's not allowed to remarry Reuven. But she will be allowed to marry Reuven's brother. We don't consider, to that extent, we don't consider that she's considered Reuven's grusha, and therefore a brother can't marry his brother's grusha. That we don't say. Yep. And the Gemara asks, Pshita, isn't that obvious? If the whole idea was that we said that really Miyun should cancel the get. The only reason we said before we don't want it to happen is because we don't want the husband to go winking and hinting to her, you know what, come back to me. Well then, who knew to Makedas be resisive or critisive? So she's familiar with her husband's mannerisms and winks and whatnot. Aval achiv loy, but his brother not. So there's no reason to make the zera. So why would we even think that she's also to his brother? The answer is ma'ud tame ligzur high or too high. Okay, but you might have thought you make a zera of one because he might be confused with the other. If you allow him to marry the brother, and normally a man's not allowed to marry his brother's grusha, then you're going to think that means she's not really a grusha from her first husband either, from Reuven. Therefore, maybe she'd be able to return to him. The chiddush is that we're not worried about that. The ikadamri, right? The ikadamri. Others say the other way around. Amr Rav Yitzchak Ba'ashian. No, on the contrary, kashem shasur loy kachasur ta'alachin. Just as she's also to Reuven, so is she also to any of his brothers.
Why?
And the question is, well, in my character, the kriseseim or mizeseim, she's not familiar with their winks and hints. Why are we worried about that? And the answer is zera achiv atahu. Yes, we are making a zera that we don't want his brother to marry her because that could end up that he himself is gonna marry her, and him marrying her, it would be the problem that he's gonna try to trick her in, not trick her. He's gonna try to hint to her and whatever to seduce her back to returning to him, and we don't want that. It sounds sort of like a Xero Xero, but I guess I haven't seen anything about that, but I guess the answer would be it's not really a Xero Xero, it's all part of one Xero. You don't want that, you know, you don't want that her marriage is gonna come undone. And how can
a brother?
The brother can't undo it in the same way as her husband could. But still, once we have to ask the brother, then we have to ask the husband himself, because of that, then we also have to ask the brother, because otherwise it's going to be too confusing, and people are going to end up thinking that the husband is allowed to remarry. Okay, that's what we mean. That's all one thing. Mishnah says, "Hamagarish to isha ve'azira." If a man divorces his wife and then he remarries her before she married somebody else. Mucheres the Yavam, then she's allowed to marry the Yavam. Now we have to consider like this. When you think about it a second, let's consider the case. This woman, at one time when she married Reuven, she was mutter in Yibum to Shimon. If Reuven dies at that point, she's mutter in Yibum to Shimon. Then Reuven divorces her, and then at that point she becomes also to Shimon forever. Because not forever, but she becomes also to Shimon for as long as the divorce lasts. Because now she's his brother's grusha, and a brother's grusha, where there's no Yibum, and therefore she's an erva. Now she remarries Reuven. Basically, the question is, does that take away the previous iser? The Tanakhama says, yes, it does. Therefore, she's allowed to do Yibum. But Abulaza says not. And we'll explain in the Gemara why. Similarly, if somebody divorces a Yisayma, again, the cases that we were talking about over here, Tana, who was married off by her mother or brothers or whoever, the Chzira, and he remarries her, Muteras Layavam, then she's allowed to do Yibum. And again, Rabbi Laza Oyser. Again, Rabbi Laza says it's also for the same reason as we'll talk about in the Gemara. Or not exactly the same reason, but we'll talk about it. Another din, Tana Shiyisiyah Aviyah. This is a girl who was married off by her father. and then she was divorced. Then she's considered ki yisoima b'chayei av. She's considered, we've talked about this concept before, she's considered like an orphan even though her father is physically alive. Because at that point, her father has no more right in halacha to be mekadosh her ever again. She's considered like a yisoima in the sense that just like her father really is dead, he can't be mekadosh her, only her mother or her brothers could. And we talked about the beginning of the parak machlokas rishonim whether she can be mekadosh herself. Similarly, in this case, her father is out of the picture. Her father loses the opportunity to ever be mekadosh her again. And in that case, the hechzira, in that case, if her husband remarries her, divrei hakol asur liyavam, then everybody agrees that she is asur to the yavam, because what do we have in that case? Her original marriage that her father did exists midaraisa, because her father has the right midaraisa to marry her off. Then she got divorced, which is a real divorce, apitara. Then she remarried. That marriage is only dirabanan. That marriage, Rabbanon, cannot undo the effect of the get, which was Daraisa. Mela, if she was Lachatchila married off by her mother, where the whole Kiddushin only existed mid Rabbanon, and the get only existed mid Rabbanon, so fine, you could argue, when she remarries, which is also Rabbanon again, then it cancels everything out. But here you have the original marriage and the original get were on a Daraisa level, because the marriage was done by the father, and the second marriage to the same husband is done mid Rabbanon, that one doesn't override the other. Omar Eifa, so Eifa says, the Gemara says, my time at Rabbi Elazar, what's Rabbi Elazar's reason? Because he says, Hayova Amdal of Shah Achas Bi Sura, because there was a certain period of time when she was also to him. There came a point, again, there was that intermediate stage, after his brother divorced her, before he remarried her, where at that point she became also to him, as under the rules of Yibum, because she's an heir to him, and that's it, she never becomes Mutter again. By that logic, she shouldn't need chalitza either. If she's actually an erva, we learned all the way at the beginning of the Masechta, an erva doesn't need yibum or chalitza. Okay, so you might say, yeah, she doesn't need chalitza, what's the problem? But we learned in a braisa, Mishum Rabbi Elazar Omer Chalitza, that they said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, she has to do chalitza. So now what's Rabbi Elazar's reasoning? If she's not an erva, then she should be able to do yibum. If she's an erva, she shouldn't need chalitza either.
What does Rabbi Elazar say she needs?
That's the question. Why did he say she can't do yibum if she has to do chalitza?
What did you see that?
We said a braisa. Valtani mishum Rabbi Elazar amr chalitza. Ela amr Eifa. So no, Eifa says rather Rabbi Elazar lo yadina my time. You know what? I don't understand Rabbi Elazar's reasoning. Amr Abaya. Heine time is the Rabbi Elazar, but Abaya says, I'll tell you what Rabbi Elazar's reason is, misapkale, because he actually has a suffix. E misam apelis in nisurin harishonim apelin. We touched on this concept earlier in the Masechta. What do we say is the key factor in making her a Shemeres Yavam? Is it the fact that she married her first husband, Reuven? Or is it the fact that her first husband, Reuven, died? Now, obviously, I mean, you obviously need both factors for her to be a Shemeres Yavam. The question is, which factor is the key one? Do we say, in other words, that as soon as she married Reuven, then already that sort of puts her on the road to becoming a Shemeres Yavam? Yes, it needs to be that he's going to die without children in order for it to actually happen, but she's already on that road. She's already going towards that.
There's nothing until the actual death.
So, therefore, if you say that the death of her husband is the key factor, that's what puts her on the road to being a Shemeres Yavam, Haramya Kamele Yibum. Well, very well then. At the time her husband died, he was married to her. So therefore, the brother can do Yibum, no problem. If we say, though, you look at the first marriage, then from when his brother married her and then she first went on the road to Yibum, in between there was a divorce where she became also to him. Because Rabbi Elazar has that suffix, therefore Abaya is saying that's why he says she can't do Yibum, because she might be an erva, but on the other hand, she has to do Chalitza because she might not be an erva.
Yeah, the suffix, whether or not she should.
Whether or not she has a zika. And as usual,
when she got married, or at
the question is, what's the key factor? Do we look at what's happened since she got married? In that case, she was mutter to the brother, then she became osur, then she became mutter again.
Right.
And then we say that once she was also for even a little while, she's also forever. Or do we say, forget about the actual marriage. At the moment when her husband died, he was married to her. Nisuin, Misa Mapelas. Therefore, fine, she can do Yibum. She's not an erva. There was no time when she was offered for the brother. So depending on how you look at it, either she can't do so according to the first way of looking at it, she's an erva. According to the second way, she's not an erva. As usual, when you have a suffix, yes, she has to chalitza, not yibum.
That's why he takes
this position. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, lo'olam pshita Rav Elazar demisim apelis. No, you could say that Rav Elazar knows good and well that misim apelis, that it's, we only look at the death. So then in that case, you should be a real Yavama. What's the problem? Why can't you do Yibum? Umiu, the problem is like this. Hakol b'ki in Megerushin. Everybody's familiar with Gerushin. Whenever somebody divorces his wife, it gets well known because it has to be done in Beis Din. Ain't Hakol b'ki in Mechazara. Not everybody is going to know that he remarried her. The remarriage doesn't necessarily have to be publicized so much. So what's going to happen, therefore? Imagine if, therefore, so Reuven divorced her. Everybody knows he divorced her. Later on, people have not heard necessarily that Reuven remarried her. Later on, they see Shimon doing Yibum with her. Wait a minute. Why is Shimon doing Yibum with her? You're allowed to do Yibum with your brother's divorcee. And that would be an Issur D'oraisa. So because of that, Rebbe Elazar doesn't want to allow Yibum. But he says, the fact of the matter is, it's still named Zeder D'Rabbanan. You got to do Chalitza. So what? What do you mean nobody knows that she's living with him? Adaraba, Chazorah, given the Yatzvatusa, is like Hola. If he remarries her, after a while, everybody gets to know that she's living with him again. Obviously, people know. The answer is, not necessarily. Mileskin, Adahadra, Ba'urta, Vashachat, Batapra. You could have a corner case. You could have a case where he remarried her in the morning and then died the same, or he remarried her one evening, and the next morning he died. So yes, there wasn't time for everybody to get to know that they remarried. Yeah, it's true, if he remarried her and they lived together for a few years, yeah, everybody's going to know about it. But not necessarily. So according to Rebbe Elazar, we're not making distinctions like that. So therefore he's going to say that any case where he remarried her, she's going to be off there.
Even if it's unusual.
Yeah. Rav Ashi, on behind the time of Rebbe Elazar. Rav Ashi says here's another reason why Rebbe Elazar says that she's also to do Yibum but has to do Chalitza. He makes a gzera on this case, on all of these cases, on these cases of our Mishnah, because he doesn't want them to be confused with the case of Yisayim B'chayav. We said at the end of the Mishnah that this Yisayim B'chayav, this girl who, even though her father's alive, he's out of the picture, and we said her first marriage existed d'oraisa and her second one only existed d'rabbanan, and therefore we said that her second marriage doesn't override the first gerushin, and the brother is actually also d'oraisa according to everybody to do it, right? So therefore, Rebbe Elazar is concerned. Any of these other cases where you divorce a woman and then remarry her might be confused with that case. Yes, it's true in the normal case where she's an adult, both the divorce and then the subsequent remarriage are d'oraisa, and in the case of regular Yisayim, both the original divorce and the subsequent marriage are both d'rabbanan. But you do have a case where one's d'oraisa, one's d'rabbanan, namely the Yisayim B'chayav case. And Rebbe Elazar is concerned that people might confuse one with the other. And then there's the Rabbanan versus the old Rabbanan or old D'oraisa versus the one and one, which then you'd have an Issur Karis, and therefore he makes a Sedera. But again, since it's a Sedera, she needs Chalitza. The Gemara said.
The principle that you don't do Xera if it's an unusual case?
Maybe, but I mean, sometimes we have that the Rabbanan, that's true, sometimes we have that the Rabbanan, you look at the usual situation.
Right.
Yes, but over here we're talking about an Issur Karis, that's something serious, so yeah. Anyway, it says, Hachinami Mesaber, that seems to be logical, Midikatani Sefer, because the end of our Mishnah continues with exactly that case. Kana Shisiya, via Kana was married off by her father, Vinis Karisha, and then she was divorced. We say she's like an orphan, even though her father's alive. And then if her husband remarries her, give her a yavam, then everybody agrees that she's also to the yavam. Now the question is, hi Maila Memra, why would the Mishnah have to tell us that? Pshita, it's obvious. Ela lav hakamash malan. Obviously the Mishnah is coming to hit to us. Time of the Rebbe Elazar, the Gaza Hanach, Mishumhai. The reason why Rebbe Elazar is goes there in the previous two cases, one where everything is d'oraisa and one where everything is d'rabbanan, why he says she should not do yibum, is precisely because they might be confused with this third case.
That the previous one.
Yeah. So Shema Mina. So that proves Rav Ashi's point. Not like Abaya is saying that Rebbe Elazar is not sure, and not like Rava saying that the matter of whether people know they got remarried or not, but just because the fact that the Mishnah put we see from the Mishnah itself that the reason is because the third case might be confused with one of the previous two. And indeed, Tanya Kavasei de Ravashi, we learn a braise explicitly like Ravashi. Moidim Chachamim Lavalaza Bakhtana Shisiyavia. The Chachamim agree to Lavalaza by Akhtana, whose father married her off, Viniskarsha, and then she was divorced. That Hareiki Seva Bachayav, she's like an orphan, even though her father's alive. Vachzira, and then if her husband remarries her, Shasur Layavim, but then she's also to the Yavim. Mipnesh Gerusher Girushin Gimurim, because the divorce is a full 100% divorce, Midara, on a Daraisa level.
Because the father did
the marriage, and therefore the divorce also exists Daraisa. The Ein Chazarasa Chazara, but her remarrying is not complete, because it's only Dirabanan. Continues the Braisa, when is all this talking about Shibusha Kshiktana versus Kshiktana? Only if he divorced her when she's a Ktana and then remarried her when she's a Ktana, which then we're saying the second marriage only existed Abana. But if he divorced her when she was a Ktana, but then he waited till she was older, till she was passed by mitzvah, to remarry her, which then it's also Daraisa. Or he remarried her while she's a Ktana, and she grew up by him, she stayed with him until passed bas mitzvah, umet, and then he died. Then the Chachamim say at that point, she can do Chalitza or Yibum. Because at that point, then you can't say there was a Daraisa marriage and divorce. And then not she passed away, he passed away. Yeah. So therefore, at that point, once she's a gdola, once he did one of the following, either he remarried her after she's a gdola, or he remarried her while she's a ktana, but then they lived together until she was a gdola, and we'll talk on Amud Beis whether that means that they actually have to have relations for at least one time after she became a gdola, and we'll talk about that on Amud Beis. So then, at that point, the marriage is a marriage daraisa. Then you back to the case that you have a daraisa remarriage undoing the previous get, which was also Daraisa. So that Rabbanan say, in that case, you can do Chalitza or Yibum. But then, Mishum Rabbi Laza Amr, Chalitza Sulem Mitzvah Bemis. But they said in the name of Rabbi Laza that even in that case, she has to do Chalitza, not Yibum. So we see the fact that the Braisa puts these cases together, and draws out this whole long case, and starting with the Yisrael of Chayav, goes to show that that's why Rabbi Laza says what he says, because he doesn't want the later case to be confused with Yisrael of Chayav. It's very easy to confuse the case where he remarries her when she's a Gdola versus he remarried her when she's a Ktana.
So everybody should say this way.
So now that we have the Braisa, then we know that Rabbi Ashi's explanation is the right one. So Rava asked Rav Nachman a different question. According to Rav Elazar, we're saying that even though the husband remarried her when she's a gdola, we're saying nevertheless, because of this gzera of his, because it might be confused with remarrying her, which is a kana, we say she should do chalitza, not yibum. What about her tzara? Would her tzara be able to do yibum, according to Rav Elazar? Would we make a gzera against the tzara or not? Amalei, so he says to him, he go for gzera. I mean, after all, the whole reason why Rabbi Elazar is saying the woman herself can't do yibum is because of gzera. How could we go and make gzera on top of gzera? You don't do that. So yes, the tzara should be mutter. Question is, Altani Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amar Hiva Tzaras Chelatzes. We have a braisa that they said in the name of Rabbi Elazar that she and her tzara need to do chalitza. So obviously, her chalitza is also to yibum also. I ask back, what do you mean? You have to consider that. Obviously, the Braisa, the version of the Braisa as we have it, must be mistaken. What do you mean, she and her tzara? We know throughout the Masechta, if you have you have two wives of one man, only one of them does chalitza or yibum and pastors the other one. You don't need she and her tzara do chalitza.
One or the other.
Yeah, one or the other. In cases we had before where one's a suffix and one's not, fine. Here there's no suffix. Obviously, though, it must mean that either she or her tzara needs to do chalitza. But you're still back to the question. It says that her tzara needs to do chalitza, implying but not yibum. So why? If we're saying that it would be gzera, the answer is lav tarutza kamatarutza. Look, I mean, you have to already change the wording of the braisa anyway. You already established that the wording of the braisa as we have it is corrupt. So you anyway having to fix it. But it's tzachi. As long as you're doing that, you might as well correct it like this. He chalitza, the girl herself has to do chalitza. Sarasa, whereas her Sarah can do chalitza if she wants, but she can do yibum if she wants, because we're not making a zero
on the
Sarah
and on
the Sarah.
That's how we correct the Mishnah.
Yeah, that's how we correct the Braisa, and therefore we can still say that indeed the Sarah is able to do yibum. Mishnah says, Shnei achen nesuin l'shtei achoyes ktanos. Yosemis Ksanis, it says on the side, two brothers who are married to two sisters who are Yosemis and who are Ktanis. So both of them, again, both of them, their marriage has only existed Rabbanan. Umes Baila Shalachas Mehen, and the brother of one of the husband of one of these girls dies. Then the other one is Potter from Chalitza and Yibum with his brother because she's the sister of his wife. She's an Eva. And similarly, if the two brothers are married to two deaf mute women,
Teite means
she's Potter from Chalitza and Yibum. No, so actually, what it means is she's not going to be able to marry the second brother because she's his wife's sister.
Right.
She does not need Yibum, so therefore he can't do Yibum with her. She's part of Chalitza because she's an Erva. Take this, she can go free. She can go marry whoever she wants. V'chein shtei cherches g'derlo k'tana. Similarly, if you have, if the two brothers were married to two deaf-mute women, actually, Goyes HaGrot takes out this one because the concept of deaf-mute is really going to be the subject of the next paragraph, but okay. Same idea. The whole concept, marriage with a cheresh, whether it's an adult or a child, only existed Rabbanan. Same idea. Mes b'ayla shaltana. If the husband of the younger one dies, teitzach tana mishum achoisisha. Then the younger one goes free because she's achoisisha. Now, what about mes b'ayla shaltana? What happens if the husband of the older older girl? What happens if the husband of the older girl dies? So now what happens with this older girl above bas mitzvah? On the one hand, you know, when you think about it, the other brother who's married to her younger sister, that marriage only existed above him. But the Yibum is there at Isa, so what do we do? So Rabbi Elazar Aimer, Elazar says on the side, Malamda Saktana should mind, right? What we should do is we should teach the Ktana that she should do miyun against her husband. Once she does miyun, that uproots her marriage. That makes it that her marriage, that she was never married in the first place. Well, good. Now her older sister is not going to be achos ishtoi, and her ex-husband, or now it's not even ex-husband, basically, you know, he's nothing to her halacha. She can marry her sister, no problem. Even though, as the Gemara is going to point out, really, miyun is not really an ideal thing to do. But in this case, in order to make possible the mitzvah of Yibum, we should do that. Second opinion, I'm going to leave it. No, im miyana miyana. Well, if he divorces the Ktana, it's not going to do any good because then the sister is going to be achos kushase. It has to be miyun. Right. Well, it's not him. It's not up to him to do miyun. It's up to her. She's the one. We teach this Ktana. We tell this Ktana, you know what? In order to make it possible for your sister to do yibum with your husband, you should do miyun.
Why should you do those? I mean, what's the point?
We tell her we want your husband to be able to do the mitzvah of yibum. We want your wife. We want your sister. Therefore, yes.
That he should do yibum.
In order that
the yibum is whether to send away his wife to do yibum to the mitzvah.
That's what we're saying. According to Rav Elazar, yes.
What?
Yes, it's better for him to send away his wife, for his wife to do miyun, and that way he'll be able to marry his sister.
Yeah,
Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel says no. Don't tell her to do miyun. Im miyano miyano. If she does miyun, fine. Okay, she did miyun. The imlav, but if not, tamtin achitagdil, let her wait till she gets older. Then, at that point, she and her husband are going to be considered married daraisa. Now, at that point, the shemeres yavam becomes potter because she's on a daraisa level, his brother's wife, his wife's sister. His wife's sister. We learned about this before, that according to Rav Gamliel, muslavasal mitzvah yavamim. We learned that if you said that according to Rav Gamliel, you're allowed to do something in this case. You're telling this little girl, stay married to your husband until you become bas mitzvah, and thereby you're going to be preventing your sister from doing yibum.
It automatically becomes daraisa if she sees when she...
That's what we're going to discuss on Amud Beis, whether they actually have to have relations afterwards, or whether it automatically... Yeah. We'll see if we'll get... We'll try to get to it today, but we'll see. Yeah. Third opinion... Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says no. Actually, the man is stuck. Eloi al ishta, Eloi al eshes achim. Woe to him because of his wife, and woe to him because of his brother's wife. Meaning, he loses both of them. Moitzias ishta beget. We don't tell the Ktana, according to him, in other words, you have a problem. The problem is as follows, according to Rabbi Yeshua. You should not do miyun. In fact, the Gemara is going to say that we try to stay away from miyun when possible. So therefore, you have on the one hand the gdola, the older sister, is his, it has a zika to him, and therefore his current wife, his Zaktana, is a host skukase, and we've learned before in the Masechta that a host skukase is also, that he would have to divorce her. On the other hand, once he divorces her, he's not going to be able to marry the sister, because Midrabanan, she's a chos ishta, she's the wife, the sister of his wife, of his grusha rather. So therefore, moitzi es ishta beget, eishas achav achalitza. He's going to have to divorce his wife, the Tana, with a get. Don't do mirun, you're going to have to give an actual get. The eishas achav achalitza, and he's going to have to pop to his brother's wife with chalitza, because he can't do yibum. Okay. Now, so the Gemara asks, you're saying, of course, even though she's a ktana, if he does gerushin, the gerushin will still have an effect, even if it's midrabanan. But still, you know, the whole problem of a chosishta here is midrabanan. It's midaraita, she's not a wife. So the Gemara had meant that, again. So the mission. And he's not a cotton. He's a gavur. Because a tana has shlichus. She has a yad to be mekabel kedushin, and therefore she has shlichus. Yeah.
But his gadol is megadushin. His gadol
is able to be
megadushin. Married the tana. It's not so much as that.
We're not talking about a cotton and a tana. We're talking about gadol.
If the gadol marries the tana, so the gadol is the badas.
Right. So he's the one who gives it. So he can be megadushin. Yeah. Right. She has a yad, and she has shlichus to be able to receive it. Yeah. Okay, now, so Rabbi Lazar had said in the Mishnah that you teach this little girl to do miyun. The question is, Mishari, are you allowed to do that? Valtani Bakapara. Because Bakapara taught a braisa, La'olam yidbak adam b'shloshet varim. There are three things that a person should always make an effort to come close to. V'yisrachet b'shloshet varim, and should try to stay away from three things. Yidbak b'shloshet varim, the things to try and be close to and do and prefer to do. B'chalitza uva'avas shalom uva'afaras nedarim. Number one is to do chalitza when possible, to bring peace between people, and to cancel nedarim, to cancel nedarim rather than making the person having to keep them. B'yisrachik b'shloshet varim, and stay away from three things. Mina miyun, stay away from arranging a miyun. Umina pikdonos, and from taking a pikadon, from taking a deposit from somebody else to watch over it. We'll learn on Omer Beis what the issue with that is. Umina ervonos, and from being an order, from being a guarantor for a cosigner for somebody else's loan. So,
means more of a collateral?
No, because it's not collateral. Mashkin is collateral.
What?
Mashkin is? So, the question is, so Bakapara is saying, and nobody disagrees with him, that you should try to stay away from doing miyun. So why is Rabbi Eliezer saying in our Mishnah, that Vachila, the proper thing to do is teach this girl to do miyun. Why? The answer is, miyun to mitzvah shiny. It's different when it's being done in order to enable a mitzvah.
Both, it's different.
This that Bakapara is saying that you should try to stay away from miyun. He's not talking about when it contradicts doing the mitzvah. According to Rabbi Eliezer, yeah. Gufa, getting back to what we said, Tani Bakapara, La'olam yidbak adam b'shloshet varim. We said a person should make an effort to do any of the following three things. Number one was b'chalitza. That is k'abashol. That goes according to the opinion of Abashol, which we learned earlier in the Masechta. The Tanya, Abashol, Omer HaKonis, as you've been l'shem noiv, l'shem ishur, l'shem devacher. If somebody marries his Yuvama because he likes her beauty, or because he wants to be married, or because of any other reason, k'hila p'geya be'erva, it's as if he is getting involved with an erva, v'kara be'en elias of lad mamzer, and in my eyes, the child is very newly a mamzer. We talked about before, does that mean Abashol actually holds that it's possible midaraisa, or did he say that Abanan discourage it? Midaraisa would be kosher. Anyway, the point is, according to Abashol, the preferred thing, if you have a choice between Yibam and Chalitza, is to do Chalitza. That's what Bakapara is going according to that, when he's saying that you should do Chalitza when you have the opportunity. Number two, Bahavat Shalom, you should try hard to be involved in Avat Shalom. The pasuk says, Bakish Shalom Rodfeu, seek peace and pursue it. We see it's not just a matter of that when you make peace when it comes your way. You make an effort. You run after. You chase after it. You do it. Amar Rabbo asks you to differ or differ. We make a zayin shava between the two words that it says in the pasuk of redifa, pursuing. Sivacha Bachesh Shalom Rav Feil. Here it's saying that you should look for peace and pursue it. And there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Roigif Tzedakah V'Chesed, somebody who pursues Tzedakah and Chesed, Yimtza Chayim Tzedakah V'Chavad. He will find life, Tzedakah, and honor. Now the life and the Tzedakah means an Olam Haza. The honor means an Olam Haza. This is why, this is the source for what we say every morning in davening, Eilu Dvarim, Sh'adam Echa Perasein, Ba'olam Hazeh, Ba'akerim Seimus Olam Haza. There's certain mitzvahs that a person reaps the benefits of them in this world, and the main reward is left over from Olam Haba, is preserved for Olam Haba. One of them is Havaras Shalom Shem and Olam Chavere. We get that from here, from this Gzeira Shava of Rav Feihu. We see that when a person is looking and to do peace and pursuing it, that he gets brachas in Olam Haza and in Olam Haba.
Proactive.
And proactive in making Shalom is the point. In making Shalom. Which...
And they find Tzedakah.
Well, okay. Roidif Tzedakah V'Chesed, yeah. Yes, so a person who pursues Tzedakah and Chesed, but here we're talking about Shalom. And Ha'faras Tzedarim, in Kirab Nafsan, and when we say that a person should try hard to do Ha'faras Tzedarim, that goes like Rav Nafsan said, Tanya, Rav Nafsan, Ha'noidah Ki'ilu Bona Bama, if somebody makes a neder, it's as if he built a Bama, at a time where a private Mizbeach, at a time when they're also, like after the Beit Hamikdash was built, and somebody who fulfills the neder, it's as if he brought a carbon on it. In other words, Rashi says that at that point he's been over on two things. You shouldn't make a neder in the first place, and if you made a neder, the proper thing to do is to go to a chacham and be master neder, not to try to fulfill the neder. There's a bunch of issues in this, among other things. So what's so bad about making a neder and fulfilling it? And why are we mentioning that to these three things? So there's a lot of different explanations, actually. One of them is actually that a person builds a bama, he thinks he's doing something good. He thinks he's doing a mitzvah. He doesn't realize that really he's doing a serious aveira. He's actually going to be chayav karis. Well, when he brings a carbon on, he's actually going to be chayav karis. Same thing, a person makes a neder and fulfills it. He doesn't realize what a serious thing he did. He thinks he's doing a mitzvah.
Building a bama of what?
Is building a bama, if a person builds a private mizbeach for a carbon, to bring karbanas, he thinks he's doing a mitzvah. We find in Sefer Malachim that throughout the time of the first Beis Mikdash, over and over, it says that most of the good kings of Yehuda weren't able to prevent the people from bringing karbanas on bamas. People thought they're doing a mitzvah by bringing a carbon. They don't realize that it's an aveda to bring it outside the Beis Mikdash. They're standing, that's what we're talking about. So therefore, if a person makes a neder, so the Ram explains this in the Dorim, if a person makes a neder, he thinks he's doing a mitzvah. He doesn't realize that actually, on the contrary, he's doing an aveda. The Eibush doesn't want us to forbid things to us that are mutter. As the famous expression goes, isn't it enough for you what the Torah asked to you that you want to make more things answer to yourself? So therefore, if a person actually fulfills the neder, rather than going and being mass neder, then it's like he's doing even worse. He's going and bringing a carbon on that bummer. Rather, he's sticking to his aveda and making it even worse, rather than trying to undo it. No, it does actually. We learned in Megillah that the Isser Bama exists forever after the Mishnah was built. The Isser Bama lasts forever. You're not allowed to make a Bama nowadays either. Anyway. Marshall points out that there's a difference between a neder and a shvua. I mean, we say a shvua usually is a good thing. The Torah itself is good. We accepted the Torah for the shvua. Right. One difference is, and we'll learn this extensively when we get to Nedarim in a few months, Be'ez Hashem, the difference between a neder and a shvua is basically gavra versus chesa. A neder is you saying, this object is also to me. A shvua is you saying, I'm making such and such activity also to myself. So fine, you want to make an issue on yourself. Okay, but you want to say this thing is osur, gave you the right to take something of the Eibishter's world and make it osur to you. That's why a neder is that's why a neder is a negative thing. What do we mean by you should be pursuing these three things, chalitza, havoas shalom, and neder? He says in each of these cases, when you get down to it, there is most of the time each of them will be a good thing. Sometimes you're going to have a minority of the time that it's not. Usually we're saying, according to Abishol, chalitza is a good thing. You have the mere person who can do the Shem Shemayim, and their Yibum is a good thing. Usually it's good to do Havas Shalom. Sometimes you have people who you shouldn't do, who you don't want to, who it's not good to be making Shalom with. Usually it's good to be Master Neder. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes a Neder is an appropriate thing to keep. But what we're saying here in the Gemara that you should be that Yidbak Adam means you should go basically go according to the majority. In the majority of cases, each of these things is a positive thing to do, is the right thing to do. Therefore, you should do that.
Included in the Nidalim is the Nazirus, right?
Yes. And in fact, at the beginning of the Sefta Nedarim, the Mishnah points out over there that a Rosha's kind of neder includes the kind of neder, like for example, I'm going to bring a korban or I'm going to be a nazir. Yeah. 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 I mean, there's weird cases. You have that famous case with the guy with long hair who came to Shimon HaTzadik, that I was about to succumb to my Yetzer Hara, etc. But every rule has exceptions. That's what Marshall is saying over here. Usually a neder is not a good thing. And therefore you should stay away, and therefore you should try to do Afaras Nedar. Then the other three things. The Yisrachet Meshloi Shedvarim, Bakapara had said you should stay away from three things. Min ha-mi'unin, you should try to stay away from arranging a mi'un. Why? Because what's going to happen? She gets older, she may change her mind. She may regret the fact that she ever did the mi'un. And then what's going to happen? You're going to have either that she's going to want to return to her first husband, or you're going to have to she's going to have to arrange a get from her second husband to return to the first one, etc. And it can cause all kinds of problems. Minafik donus. What are we saying that you should stay away from accepting a pikadon, a deposit? We're talking by master. We're talking about when the person who's leaving it for you for safekeeping lives in the same city as you. What's the problem there? Because his house is just like your house. So Rashi says that means, what happens? Neighbors who live in the same city commonly visit each other's houses all the time. One day the guy may walk into your house and take back his pikadon. You won't realize it. Later on, he's going to come and falsely sue you in Beis Din. Where is my pikadon? Pay up. And you're going to end up having to pay for it without having had to. So maybe if the guy lives in another city, he can't visit your house often enough, so it's not a problem. But this is in the same city. Marshall says, I don't like that pshat. He says differently. He says, what it means is, look, if he lives in the same city, his house is just as safe as yours. Why is he bothering giving you the pikadon in the first place? Must be because he's trying to get you in trouble. He's trying to arrange, he wants that somehow if the pikadon gets lost or whatever, that he'll be able to get back his money. He's trying to like insure it or whatever at your expense. Don't get involved. Next one, mina eirovin. What does it mean that you should stay away from being a guarantor? It means ba'arve shaltzion. It's talking about the kind of guarantor of shaltzion. What is shaltzion? So Rashi has a couple of different explanations. Number one is it could be the name of a place. Now, we have to understand like this. The general rule with an arev is as follows. An arev, a guarantor, usually the halacha is, if a guarantor is as follows. I'm borrowing money from you. You need a guarantor. So Yossel is the guarantor. Now, the halacha is really what it's supposed to be is when the loan comes due, you first come to me to collect it. Only if I can't pay do you then go to the arev to try to collect it. That's a normal situation. And Arev Sheltzion is the other way around. It's the arrangement is that you can go to him first. So therefore, he's in a very bad situation. He's getting himself on the hook for a loan that he's not gaining anything from. So that's one explanation. It's called Sheltzion because that was a place. There was a name of a place where they used to do, where that was the common kind of Arev arrangement. Second explanation, Rashi says, is Sheltzion, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, the expression is, it's Schleif Dutz. It schleif dutz literally means pull out and stick in. Normally, in other words, the loiver is the one who's stuck with the bill. Here, you're pulling it out of him and sticking it into the other guy. That's the kind of, again, it's the same idea, but it's just a different explanation of what shaltzion means. And then there's a note in Shulchan Aruch. There's a note in Shulchan Aruch. We don't know where it's from. It's not from the Ramah, even though it's printed together with the Agar, it's in the Ramah. That gives a different explanation. Schleif dutz, as you might mention, in a few places, is kind of detergent. So it's the same kind of idea. Like the loiva is like cleaned off with detergent. He's washed his hands of the whole thing and then thrown it onto the arev. So that's the kind of arev we're saying you should stay away from being.
In English,
I don't. In English, maybe the difference would be in English between a guarantor and a cosigner. I don't know. I think you might have mentioned in a few places that in the Goyisha legal systems of those days, the law was you could go after the order first. There was no requirement on you to go after the lawyer first. But in halacha, unless it's an Arab Shaltzirin, you have to go after the Leiva first.
It has to be predetermined as an Arab
Shaltzirin. Yeah. Yeah.
Verbally, what has to be?
Verbally, maybe in the Shtar, maybe you have to make a Kenyan. I don't know. When we get to Bava Basra, we'll get extensively into the whole concept of our Raven. I think maybe it's 9:30 now. I think maybe let's stop here and continue tomorrow with a very interesting piece of Agadah on this subject.